September 14, 2014. 15-year-old Cassie Compton was dropped off by a friend at her home in Stuttgart, Arkansas, after spending the weekend at a demolition derby in DeWitt. When she got home, her mom, Judy, and Judy's fiancé at the time, Brandon Rhodes, were there. They say she had a brief conversation with her mom, then left, saying she was going out to buy cigarettes. She was never seen again. At the time of her disappearance, Cassie had dyed blonde hair, blue eyes, weighed about 100 pounds, and was 5 feet 3 inches tall.
There is still no sign of Stuttgart teenager Cassie Compton.
It's like part of me is missing because she is my blood.
No one has been ruled out as a suspect.
I mean, literally half a block away, poof, vanish, nothing.
We love you, and we just want you home safe.
After 5 years, the tips have really dwindled.
She just did so many things that were suspicious.
I do believe 100% that he was involved with her disappearance.
I feel like somebody knows and they just won't tell.
This is Timeline, the disappearance of Cassie Compton. Hello, everybody. My name is Kayla Lafferty. I'm a reporter for KETV Channel 7 News in Little Rock, Arkansas. I've been a reporter at Channel 7 for a year and a half. And since I was a kid, I've been fascinated with cold cases, missing persons cases, and unsolved murders, and I'm an avid podcast listener, and I've always wanted to dig into a case. But it wasn't until about a year into my job at Channel 7 that I first heard the name Cassie Compton. I was talking to my news director, Nick, about the possibility of starting a podcast, and I asked if there were any cases in the state of Arkansas that he still thinks about. Right off the top of his head, he said Cassie Compton. The story starts September 14, 2014, when Cassie was last seen.
Nearly 2 months have passed since mother Judy Compton has seen her 15-year-old daughter. Police say they're following up on leads they receive every day, and no one has been ruled out as a suspect.
We did several stories back in 2014 when Cassie went missing, which gave me the basis of information to start with. But to understand this case, we need to learn a little more about the city Cassie vanished from. And who better to learn about a city from than the person who is sworn to serve and protect it?
When did you start working for Stuttgart PD?
I started here in 1995.
And are you from here? What brought you here?
I am from here. This is my hometown.
Stuttgart Police Chief Mark Duke has a small corner office at the police station, and it's filled floor to ceiling with memorabilia from 1980s rock bands like Judas Priest and Motley Crue. He seemed a little bit apprehensive in talking to me at first, but he did eventually warm up.
Tell us about Stuttgart itself, because a lot of people, even in Arkansas, haven't necessarily been through Stuttgart. So what's it like here?
It's just it's a small farming community for about 9 months out of the year. But it's a major rice production center of the world. We've got two of the major millers, Riceland and producers. And then 3 months out of the year, November, December, and January, it's ducks and duck hunters.
And this by no means is an exaggeration. According to Arkansas.com, the city is the duck and rice capital of the world. Ducks and rice work cohesively in Stuttgart. It's actually the rice fields and reservoirs made to help with rice production that bring ducks here. The website says, rice fields and irrigation reservoirs entice the annual migration of ducks and geese on the Mississippi Flyway to linger, making the area nationally renowned among waterfowl hunters.
Shoot him. What's it like during that time of the year? Does it kind of transform?
Yeah, we go from probably... There's probably a normal 9,500 population to an easy 25,000, 30,000. I mean, there's just in and out of here, not necessarily just in the city, but community-wide, there's that many people coming and going every day. The airport is a steady stream of private jets. There's constantly vehicles. The hotels, the motels, they're booked the lodges are full, the stores are full, the restaurants are full. It's quite beneficial for us.
Another interesting thing about Stuttgart, it's home to the World Championship Duck Calling Competition. The Stuttgart Chamber of Commerce logo even has a duck call on it. That's how big of a deal that is here in Stuttgart. Chief Duke says the competition brings in around 20,000 people a year.
So it's crazy to think that many people come here for that amount of time a year. It's so interesting.
It's full. I mean, you look out here now and you see, what, half a dozen cars on the parking lot, and for 3 days, you park four blocks away to even get close because they're just everywhere. They're up and down every parking lot, every side street. They put up three tents down here on Main Street. That's vendors, just circus tents. They're full. They put up more of them out there for the gumbo cook-off. They'll be anywhere from 3,000 to 5,000 people go through that tent in a day to sample the gumbo and enjoy themselves.
But at the time Cassie Compton went missing in September of 2014, Stuttgart was at its normal size, just over 9,000 residents.
When she first disappeared last September, she was 15 years old. Now a year older, and there is still no sign of Stuttgart teenager Cassie Compton.
That was from a broadcast a year and a half after Cassie was last seen. This month marks 5 years since Cassie went missing from Stuttgart.
But let's talk a little bit about what the crime rates are here, if you know any of those statistics. Like, is there a high crime rate? Is there a low crime rate?
Listening to small town folks talk, it seems like a high crime rate. It's no different than any other town or city per capita. I mean, we have our share of thefts, domestic violence cases. You know, luckily our violent crimes are a lot lower than bigger cities. You know, unfortunately we are a victim just like everybody else. It happens, but it could happen anywhere at any time.
But it's not very often that people just go missing from Stuttgart.
No, I mean, in all my years, we have Cassie Compton, another woman by the name of Michelle Owens, we have absolutely no idea where they are. It's just they vanished.
And to get an idea of what it was like back when she disappeared, there was one person I knew would give me perspective.
Channel 7's Jordan Bonnke has been covering this case since the very beginning. So what's new with the search, Jordan?
Well, Stuttgart police tell me that with so much interest in Cassie's disappearance, they're battling constant rumors about where she may be.
This is Jordan.
Hey, this is Kayla. How are you?
Good. Hey, how's it going, Kayla?
Jordan Bonnke is now a reporter at our sister station, KI, in Austin, Texas. But back in 2014, he reported for Channel 7. He started in 2012, and he'll explain he was thrown right into the fire in terms of news coverage.
That was probably 3 months, or probably a couple of weeks before the Valonia tornadoes, the EF4 tornado that came through Faulkner County from Mayflower through Conway into Valonia and killed 16 people.
So you covered that in your first couple months.
Yeah, it was very early on. And covered that and, you know, plenty of Arkansas stuff.
Jordan was the first reporter at Channel 7 to cover Cassie's case.
So how did you find out about the whole case and everything that was going on with it?
You know, I think with missing people cases, you know, they, like the Arkansas State Police, you know, issued like a be on the lookout. I don't think that she met like Amber Alert status because she was considered early on in the investigation as a runaway. And so it didn't garner like a ton of attention like right off the jump.
And this was something I noticed when starting to dig into Cassie's case. It seemed that she was first looked at as just a runaway. Stuttgart police filed an incident report at 9:52 a.m. September 15, 2014, the morning after she disappeared. The report states that Cassie's mother, Judy Compton, spoke with two officers from Stuttgart police. What I find interesting about the report, it's only six sentences long. I'm going to read it for you, and it says it was written by Officer Kyle Stokes with SPD. I'm leaving out the exact address, but it says, "On September 15, 2014, I met a Miss Judy Compton. She stated that her daughter left her house, located on 15th Street, between 6:45 and 7 p.m. on September 14, 2014, and has not returned. Cassie Compton is a 15-year-old with blonde hair and blue eyes, approximately 100 pounds, also has a scar on her left cheek. Subject was last seen wearing a blue tank top and teal plaid shorts. Ms. Compton states her daughter has been diagnosed with a mental disorder, possibly bipolar," and that's the entire incident report. Jordan remembered how short the report was, but he was able to flush out the timeline a little bit better.
You know, she was with a friend in DeWitt, which was somewhere, you know, near the Stuttgart area, in that county, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think. And she goes with a friend, she comes back, something around the lines of like, "Do you want dinner?" She says no. You know, she's a 15-year-old girl, so she, you know, family had said that she was moody, you know, at times. And then Judy told us later that, you know, Cassie had, mood swings, and she had a prescription that she was supposed to take for that, but she didn't like to. She flushed it down the toilet. And so that day she ends up just, you know, walking and not coming back. She didn't take her purse. She didn't take her cell phone. She just disappeared, and she hasn't been seen since. The FBI eventually gets involved, and then Brandon Rhodes is no longer in the picture in the way he once was.
But Chief Duke, still, 5 years after Cassie went missing, seems reluctant to give details.
Who was there when she was last at the house? Can you tell us about that?
She went to the county fair. They always have a big demolition derby there, and that usually a big affair for all the youngsters, you know, they go, teenagers. And she come home on Sunday. She had stayed the night with family friends and came home on Sunday. The mother and the boyfriend were there. She went in. She left a few minutes later. And that's where the mystery starts.
For reference, the mother is Judy Compton, and the boyfriend is Judy's fiancé at the time, Brandon Rhodes.
Back when we did the original stories in, like, 2014?
Mm-hmm.
They weren't cleared as suspects. Are they still considered suspects, the mom and her?
I don't think anybody's been ruled out as a suspect.
Can you say anything about, like, who are some of the people you guys have really looked into?
No.
Okay.
I mean, because it's this thing could go either way, you know. Something could come open today, and it could start right back up.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe somebody will hear this and say, "Look here, this is what I know," and if they're willing to sit down and talk about it, then we'll talk about it.
At this point in my interview with Chief Duke, I realized what a challenge Jordan must have had back in 2014 when reporting on the case. When a new piece of information comes to light in a case you're following, you put out a new story so the public knows what's going on with the investigation. But for Jordan, investigators were keeping the case close to the vest and not giving out new details. Most of the new information he was getting was from Cassie's mother, Judy Compton. So I asked him, what was it like putting out stories without law enforcement sharing new information?
What was it like for you to cover it and try and get information? Because, I mean, they're still not giving a lot of details now. So I'm sure back then it was kind of frustrating to get any of the details at all to be able to report on it.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, as a reporter, that every time you have to cover any sort of trend that you know could be really, like, predictable, anything from, you know, flooding, you look for information. What's going to be different about this? How are you going to do it differently?
Mm-hmm.
Cassie Compton's story had a lot of the same recurring details. I remember that, you know, with each passing month or milestone, we'd go back and revisit the story, and it would be Cassie Compton's, you know, it would be Cassie Compton's missing, and then you'd find the police report, and you'd find out about, you know, her previous condition, or you'd find out about Judy's lifestyle, you know, and you'd try to make that a little different. But the details were always the same, which is, you know, she came back from a friend in DeWitt, she, you know, denied dinner, she went for a walk, and she disappeared and never came back. I felt to myself that, and I feel this with a lot of missing person cases, it's better to be in my position as a television reporter and say, hey, if you see this person and you know anything, please contact police, because it's better than doing nothing. It keeps it on your mind. And so I did feel like I was doing a little bit of a public service, a little bit of it, at least.
That feels good. At least, like, that is one thing that's nice about being a journalist, is you can at least do that.
Yeah, that was what kind of kept me going, is because I felt like if I got a little bit of information from Judy, that I had myself a story. Because in reality, like, whether there was new information or not, what was telling to me is another day has gone by, another milestone has gone by, and this mother is still grieving.
It's like part of me is missing because she is my blood. My daughter's been my life.
That was from an interview Jordan did with Cassie's mom, Judy, right after her disappearance. Back at that time, Police Chief Mark Duke wasn't the chief just yet.
So you now, your chief, how did that all come to be?
Started here in 95 as a patrolman. Worked my way through the ranks. Ended up taking over criminal investigations about 15 years ago. Worked through five or six chiefs, and when the last one retired, I talked to the mayor and I got selected.
Did you ever think you'd end up being chief here?
No.
You did? Why not?
I just never did.
Back in 2014, Chief Duke was Lieutenant Duke, and he was one of the two officers called to the Compton house when Judy Compton wanted to file a missing persons report for her daughter.
What was that like for you? You've been with this case since the beginning, right?
Yeah. I mean, I was there the morning that she was reported missing. And, you know, it's like anything else. You think, all right, she's mad, she left, we'll find her. And it just went sideways from there.
Yeah, I mean, like, when I got the missing persons file, it's only like five sentences that you wrote, because how are you supposed to know? But I feel like back then, was it you just thought she'd run away or left and was going to come back?
It's hard to say, you know, because I guess of the situation she was in, she was not the happiest person, you know, to be in that situation, I guess. Or had expressed, I guess, to friends and stuff that she just wasn't happy with her home life. So when she wound up gone, you know, well, she's gone with somebody else, or you know, she's took off walking, or nothing. I mean, literally half a block away, poof, vanished, nothing.
How short the missing persons file is was something Jordan thought about often.
Well, I don't want to badmouth Stuttgart police, but I did get the sense that because they thought that it was a moody teenager who had run away, that I felt like there should be a little bit of accountability held on that end. And I know that probably won't, but, you know, I know that they have their own feelings and they have their own reasons to believe certain things, but I just think it was really, really, you know, irresponsible to think that. You have to, like, take all this stuff so seriously. So, I, you know, looking back, I think that Mark Duke would probably investigate this differently.
Chief Duke says just because the original missing persons file is small does not mean that's how the whole investigation has been.
I'm not going to go deep into it because it's all still active. I mean, the report's five sentences. The file is probably a whole 18 inches thick or more. I mean, it's literally folders upon folders upon folders of just compiled information. You know, every little tip that's been passed on, followed up, Facebook messages, you know.
He got out the file from a back room and showed it to me. He wouldn't let me look at its contents, but the file was thick. Not 18 inches thick like he previously described, but it was thick.
It's all compressed together.
Oh, wow. This is like a good 5 pounds of paper.
Yeah.
So it's like right here on the top is the Center for Missing and Exploited Children, their analysis of it, so.
Well, no, that's probably a tip.
Oh, a tip? Okay. Wow.
He says he's followed every tip in this case, and at some points, he even thought he found Cassie.
And there, at one point, we thought we were on the right track when somebody created a fake profile and contacted the mother and said, I'm ready to come home. You know, this started at like 10 o'clock on a Sunday night. She calls me in a frantic. I get up, I go to the woman's house, and we're going through here, and I start having her ask questions. Well, she just wants to come home. She wants the money to come home. That's when, oh, here we go. Come to find out, somebody was doing the exact same thing on that Ebby Stepich girl. They had created a fake profile that had contacted her, either her mother or whatever, wanting the same thing. I just want to come home. The profile friended Cassie's friends on Facebook, had sent them messages. You know, I went back, I interviewed, tracked them down. They weren't even in the state.
Why would someone do that?
Trying to get money, trying to extort money.
This is totally
a desperate mother that wants their kid. You know, if they say send me a money order for $500 for bus tickets and food, they're going to do it. And it's just sick people that do this.
Even if many of the leads went nowhere, Chief Duke keeps hope alive that one day he'll find the answers.
How often would you kind of go through it and just look over things?
As each tip would come through, I would go back and look and make sure that I hadn't seen something close to it, or if it was a duplicate, or, you know, any time that somebody comes through and says something, I'm like, you want to look at it, get it out, tell them, take it to their office, read it, you know. I've done the same thing when any time state has, changing of the guards, promotions, you know, new individuals come into their CID unit or whatever. You know, if they come over, I'm like, you want to look at it? Look at it. You know, they have a copy of everything, but sometimes just sitting and looking at, you know, page after page after page after page of stuff, looking for something that we might have missed. And we still meet once a year, all of us that, the originators of it, we all still meet once a year and discuss it.
When do you guys do that meeting?
It's kind of just random. Mm-hmm. We just call it and say, let's talk about it. Throw it all out there. Did we miss something? Mm-hmm. After 5 years, the tips have really dwindled. You know, went from one a day to a few a week to a few a month to I haven't seen one now in probably 3 months.
But even thinking about it, it's been almost 5 years. September will be 5 years, and three months ago someone was still saying something. So that gives us hope at least that, like, there's still people out there that know something.
Somebody does. And I've heard all kinds of stories. I've heard some stuff that was so far-fetched. It was like a stuff that wasn't even, it just wasn't feasible, you know. But we still looked into it. I mean, we literally looked into it, even though the stuff was so far out there that, hey, this ain't gonna cost us nothing.
What do you hope comes out of this case? Like, what's your best case scenario when it comes to Cassie Compton?
For somebody to pick the phone up and say, I know where she's at, come get her. Or for her to call and say, I'm here, come get me. You know, and if something tragic happened, somebody to say, I know what happened, this is where you can find her. To at least give her mom something. Because the thing that she tells me every time and what sticks in my head is knowing, not knowing is the worst.
Do you have kids?
Mm-hmm.
Does this ever make you think about them and, you know, like, what if?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have preached to mine from day one. Never take anything for granted. Always be aware of your surroundings, you know. I don't care if you're 5 or 55. You need to know what's going on around you. You need to know who's going on around you. You need to know who you're dealing with and who you think are your friends.
For Jordan, he covered several high-profile missing persons cases while in Little Rock, and for most, he says he's had some kind of resolution as to what happened. But with Cassie Compton, it's still up in the air.
Do you still think about this case ever?
You know what I think about? I think about a lot of the missing cases that I covered. John Glasgow was one. Abby Stepick was another. And Cassie Compton was probably the other one, just because... Also Beverly Carter, in that case as well. I think about those four really big stories because they were important people. They were all so different. Yeah, I mean, I think about it pretty regularly. Just because when you're invested in that, you want to find resolution to that. You know, you want to find some. So, like, when I found out Abby Stepick's remains were found, like, that was like, at least there's some closure for the family. Or like when John Glasgow's remains were found, at least there's closure. Beverly Carter, like, you're like, okay, at least we know that the guy that, you know, buried her is, you know, was sentenced to put in jail, you know.
So
yeah. With Cassie, it's the only one that still not a whole lot around.
Cassie Compton would be 20 years old at the time this episode was released. At the time of her disappearance, Cassie had blonde hair, blue eyes, weighed about 100 pounds, and was 5 feet 3 inches tall. She had a noticeable scar on her left cheek. If you have any information on what happened to Cassie or where she may be, please contact the Stuttgart Police Department. In the next episode of Timeline, the disappearance of Cassie Compton.
They say that she had a very difficult life.
She said that she believes that Cassie would come back if she knew that Brandon was in the picture.
I can't just say, but yeah, that's a unique individual.